following is a previously broadcast program.
What's up, everybody? It's the one and only Miss Chris. You're tuning in to Queer Core. You are tuning in to Queer Core. Oh, I seem to be having... But just give me 1 second. There we go. So yeah, what's up, everybody? It's the one and only Miss Chris. You're tuning in to Queer Core, per usual. I am your host, but today won't be an Ask Miss Chris episode. It's going to be on Queer Core, as I said. I'm having Celeste, as well as another guest. Let me get their name. Gillian Smith. So we're having Celeste and Gillian to discuss about a protest that's going to be taking place tomorrow at McGill concerning... Let me read you exactly what the situation at hand is. I hope everybody had a nice holiday time. I had quite an amazing and marvelous time, but I won't get into it too much. I'm keeping that for next week. But today's menu is... So it's going to be a conversation on the protest against McGill's platforming of anti-trans violence. So tune in soon. And a special thanks to Al and Daphne from Aztec for taking over the first hour of Queer Core. Per usual, it's your host, Ask Miss Chris, and I'll be right back. Keep on tuning in. What's up, everybody? It's the one and only Miss Chris. You're tuning in to not Ask Miss Chris tonight, but the Queer Core Show. I'm sitting with amazing guests Galianne and Celeste. So as I gave you guys a little heads up at the beginning when we were playing that good Janet, the Viagra Boys, some of my new favorite groups, today's episode is going to be about a protest basically that's taking place tomorrow. So the way the story got to me, people know everybody comes to Miss Chris when they want the tea to be served, when the story has to be spoken to and about. So I got this story basically 2 days ago, and it's something that I really felt like the listeners and just pretty much everybody that is a CKUT listener and somebody with common sense would like to be notified of. So Celeste, the floor is yours. What's going on? Tell us what's going on exactly.
Yeah, so for short, Miguel is hosting a speaker from a very transphobic transphobic lawyer, closely associated with the LGBT Alliance, a worldwide transphobic hate group associated with many far-right hate groups and which does nothing but spew transphobia out.
And that group is the LGBT Alliance.
Yeah.
And then what else can you, because I was doing my own research and I was looking up, because one thing, I'm not a McGill student, so I had no idea this was going on to begin with. But I did my own little research when it comes to the lawyer itself and the LGBT Alliance. The LGBT Alliance is very, It's confusing itself because when you look at the Wikipedia page, right? Because that's as far as I did my research. When you look at the Wikipedia page, it's implied that it's a LGB, but I seem to have understood, it's a trans exclusionary situation, basically.
Basically, and they don't really do anything LGB friendly either. They are pro conversion therapy, like anti conversion therapy bans. They say that opposing same sex marriage is not homophobic. Lots of these positions you'd never find from a legitimate queer organization. And they even said in court, when questioned, when will you start helping LGB people? They said, we'll get to it.
How does that sound
to you?
Which is very crazy, because that same guy, I don't even know if we can really mention that lawyer's name, but that same person, because I was doing my little research, once again, I'm very nosy. So I looked him up online, and what I'm finding out is this is the same man that is basically being invited all over the world, because he was recently in South America. He did like a whole tour of certain Latin American universities to basically speak of issues in the LGBTI community, which was so confusing to me. Because some of those issues were inherently trans, it was the LGBT umbrella. But then you have somebody speaking for us, for trans people, for queer people, outside of, gay people and lesbian people, which is another thing. But you have people like him speaking for us, but you're realizing that he only has half, or let's say 2/3 of the community's best interests at heart.
Not even. They have 0% of the community's interests. Mm. They're anti... Fun fact, the LGBT Alliance only has 7% of its members as self-identifying as lesbian, and they claim they're defending lesbians by, preventing trans women from accessing women's bathrooms. It's all sham. They're really a group that consists mostly of straight cisgender people, but also some LGB people who are vehemently opposed to trans rights.
Right.
That's basically their agenda.
And when it comes to, because that person is the lawyer himself is being invited. What is the event that he's being invited to speak at?
Well, basically he's invited to speak as like himself as like a McGill alum and lawyer. But the event description very strongly references the LGB Alliance. And it's pretty much undetachable that he's going to be representing the LGB Alliance, at least in part, at the event.
Of course, you have something to say, Gillian.
Yeah, the name of the event itself is actually the... sex versus gender identity debate. So they're trying to frame this as a debate, and they're trying to focus on his trans misogyny and his transphobia as something that's a debatable issue when it isn't. It's our existence and our human rights.
And do we know other people that are going to be speaking at that event?
Yeah, it's being moderated by a professor at the law faculty, and they've, after being confronted about the issues with the event, they've invited a non-binary law professor to kind of comment afterwards, and they're opening it up more as a discussion. But again, our stance is this isn't something that's to be discussed. This isn't something to be debated. This is our lives.
Yeah.
And it's really about trans people's own safety and dignity. It's very fundamental things. Statistics show that people having proper ID is strongly beneficial towards their mental health, helps reduce suicide rates, and the whole reason I still commit so much time, often on a volunteer basis, to help people change their gender markers is because I see the joy on people's faces when they get to change their gender markers. I see the happiness when they get their IDs changed. I've helped over 425 people last year alone, and I'm ready to double down this year because it's so clear that it's beneficial towards the community, and there's no other way you can really frame it.
And for safety reasons also.
Yeah. Having the wrong ID could easily out you as trans, could make you like, make you not, just make someone who might be passing like at great risk of danger. Like
it's
in my case,
it's an extremely uncomfortable situation to be in.
Yeah, and the context that this org comes to us from is they're an org based in the UK, which has a lot of this transphobia kind of trying to play itself off as quote unquote feminism when it isn't. And they're just trying to use that to make their transphobia palatable. Mm-hmm. And in the UK, ID issues are just huge. It's a lot harder to get like a legal ID change. It's a lot harder to get medical care there.
And that lawyer was involved in making those things harder, because I saw that he was involved in the Bell versus Tavistock.
Exactly. And it's not just that. He was also involved in great part in opposing the Gender Recognition Act and making it so that it would not be adopted in England, forcing Scotland to adopt their own bill, which now might be at risk of not getting royal assent. Let's just say that UK might enter a constitutional crisis thanks to its hatred of trans people.
And this is happening really... When is the protest? Tomorrow, right? On the 10th?
Yeah, it's tomorrow at 12:40 p.m.
12:40 p.m.
So less than 24 hours from now.
Pretty much. You got to see what I tell you guys, everybody at home. You come to Miss Chris Quirkor, ask Miss Chris, and you get the information. So less than 24 hours from now, tomorrow at, what's the time exactly?
12:40 p.m. exactly at McGill's Faculty of Law.
Wow. And what else could be said about the event, basically?
Well, it's going to be occasion for us to really bring forward our demands to McGill. Our main one, of course, because they've insisted so much on not canceling the event. They've tried saving it under so many occasions. I'm sure we can all attest to just the condescending responses that McGill has sent over to its students, including to the entire law faculty earlier today. It's very clear that McGill does not want to stop the event themselves. Yeah. So what we're planning on doing is to interrupt the event, but also to speak up for trans rights, to make sure our voice is heard, and also demand that McGill University never host such an event once again. So Robert Whitmute actually invited himself. He even paid for the travel expenses to head here. So it's very clear that he has an agenda of hating on trans people. It's not someone who's been invited for like an academic debate. It's someone who has been invited very much to
discuss
spew
the
hate.
Yeah, the livelihood of trans people, which is kind of crazy to be discussing this. Like you said, it's not a debate. People's livelihood is not something that you can discuss. It's not something that you should be agreeing upon. It's something that you shouldn't even be tolerating, because tolerating would imply that you have some type of power over that person.
Yeah, and I like to make the analogy between reproductive rights, such as access to abortion, and trans rights as an access to medical care. It's all situations where denial of care is deadly, but not in the, like, the traditional sense of literally killing someone. It's deadly as in it prevents them from having even a marginally acceptable quality of life. So it's very, it very deeply affects people, and it's very clear that by inviting such a person, by saying that it's debatable in a way, it's almost as McGill said in the alternate universe, that it's okay to invite someone to debate whether women should be sent back to the kitchen or no.
It's quite shocking, because the year is just starting. You would think we could start here on a good foot, on something reasonable.
Isn't it fun when our community always has to protest every single month?
And especially McGill. Let me say this one thing. It has nothing to do with the event, the human rights event. But speaking of McGill, you people should do something about the icing outside. Because I'm thinking of the protest tomorrow. I was coming down, side note. McGill, you know I love you. I love my job. However, a little salt didn't kill nobody. You could put some salt outside the window. I'm looking at it right now. But back to the event itself. Yeah, it's a bit shocking. It's not even a bit shocking, because McGill has this history and this reputation of being quite funny, a funny institution, and the places and the ways they decide to take positions. They're very much, it's almost like they're 2 feet at two places at the same time, like on each side. But it's, I feel like now we're asking them to not even take a stance, but simply certain topics should not even discussed, should not even be brought up, because they're not topics, as we said. But what I would be asking myself, and especially for any listeners, if you want to call, even though it's not to ask Miss Chris, you still can call at 514-448-4013 if you have any questions or anything to add. But is the human rights event that the lawyer is going to be speaking at, is it open to the public, or is it mainly for the McGill Law Faculty?
It's open to the public. It was by reservation to an email. We've been informed that as people have been trying to email and get a spot, the spots are apparently full. So we're not sure if they're actually full or not. They've also... Center for Human Rights and Legal Pluralism that's hosting the event has kind of shut down their like social media posts about the event without actually shutting it down. When we started kind of calling them out about it and calling them in to discuss, they just deleted their Facebook posts. They deleted tweets.
Wow.
And they didn't actually shut down the event. They just deleted promotions. So we're not sure how full it actually is. We just know that there's a lot of people who are angry, rightfully, and we don't want this to happen.
That is so crazy. They just deleted everything?
Yeah.
What's the word? Acknowledgement.
No, they still haven't issued any statement. We've just been getting emails from them and from our faculty that are just kind of like a mass email to everyone, regardless of their relationship to the center. But they're not actually canceling. They're just kind of deleting promo.
And they added a non-binary person to the lineup after the... Well, that's one way to cover it up.
Yeah. I feel like they're really trying to save the event while there's clearly no hope. It's an inherently transphobic event, and there's no way you can save something like that by trying to make it a tad bit more inclusive.
Right.
Think about it. -100 plus 1, you're still in the negatives.
Yeah, and we just want them to really, like, listen to our pleas. Like, a lot of us are sending emails saying how this event is hurting us, especially, like, as trans law students.
Yeah.
We don't feel as safe in our faculty when they're right. treating us like this. And they're not really responding to those. They're just saying kind of a, like, blank written out email about academic freedom and how this issue is apparently debatable.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and I feel like it also affects the safety of many other people around.
It
like
does.
Many trans people in the broader community.
Mm-hmm.
Like, me, I'm not a McGill law student. I'm a law student at Université de Montréal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you felt it resonate from my end because I know the law students who might watch this event,
yeah.
who might develop transphobic views, might be tomorrow's politicians, might
yeah.
be tomorrow's lawyers. They might defend PDF Quebec or other transphobic groups here in Quebec
mm.
or do even worse, introduce transphobic bills in the Quebec legislature. It's very clear that there is a negative impact, and I believe it. With the hundreds of transphobic bills in the U.S., so far there's only been one in Quebec, and it was shut down by the trans community.
Mm.
It wasn't even out of bad faith. It was more out of, like, not consulting the community and making a huge blunder.
Yeah.
But even then, I fear that Canada one day will start getting its first transphobic bills, per se, and it's only going to go downhill from there.
Yeah, Sally, I can definitely agree with that.
Part of me just really wishes, as a trans activist, that I can just, you know, make trans people happy,
yeah.
create events, really bind for them. For example, the annual Trans March, even creating concerts, creating markets, creating, like, legal clinics, just things that helps enhance our community's quality of life.
Yeah.
And what McGill is doing here is preventing me from doing that, forcing basically all trans activists to go on their highest gear possible to oppose transphobia. It's exhausting at the end of the day because we want to help our community, but at the end of the day, we're just practicing harm reduction against what basically is state-sponsored or university-sponsored discourse that promotes genocide, that promotes terrorism, that promotes these truly hateful acts.
And I think you were the one that mentioned earlier, Gillian, that the lawyer is an alumni from McGill?
Yeah, so let's mention that.
That is really crazy to me because it's really disregarding in the same sense, because I refuse to believe that there hasn't been a trans lawyer that graduated McGill and it's 200 plus, I don't know, years.
Yeah, there's been some amazing ones. For
yeah.
example, Florence Ashley at currently doing their doctor's degree at
nice.
U of T, published dozens upon dozens of academic articles fighting for the trans community. They're really probably the best trans law student who ever passed by McGill. Although I don't want to, you know,
yeah,
I don't want to quantify, maybe best in terms of impact for the trans community.
I love that. And can you repeat their name?
Florence Ashley.
Florence Ashley. Hey, Florence. That's amazing. So everybody at home, we're going to be going on a tiny little break. I am feeling... So as I told you guys, I was just playing the Vagra Boys, which is my new favorite punk group. You better ask about them. But outside of the Vagra Boys, I've also been enjoying Italian music as I'm trying to go to Italy this year. So, piccolo, piccolo. Nah, I don't need nobody.
T'ho dato un piccolo, piccolo bacio amore. Provando un piccolo, piccolo tuffo al cuore. E tutto un piccolo, piccolo sogno d'oro. Il nostro piccolo, piccolo, piccolo grande amor è un sogno piccolo, piccolo senza età. La nostra piccola, piccola, piccola realtà è tanto piccola, piccola che vivrà per una piccola, piccola, piccola eternità. La 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 la. Dato un piccolo, piccolo bacio ancor, trovando un piccolo piccolo tuffo al cuore, è tutto un piccolo piccolo sogno d'or, il nostro piccolo 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 grande amor. Lula lula lu, lula lula lu, sei tu il mio piccolo 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 grande
back. So as I said, a little Italian mood for my ladies at home. I am really trying to go to Italy this year. I know I already went to Europe last year, but I'm saying manifest, make it happen. So this year, Rome, give me the plugs, give me the pull-ups, let me know what a girl got to do to be in the White Lotus this season. But back to the topic at hand, I'm still with Gillian and Celeste. Celeste, we were talking about earlier during the break the fights when it comes to basically any marginalized group of people and this world currently. And you had interesting things to say. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I want to just say how everyone's rights are, in a way, interconnected.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about, like, black people, women, the rest of the rainbow, as I call it,
yeah.
Indigenous folks,
mm-hmm.
trans people. All these rights are interconnected. And when you remove one, it's kind of like you have a tower of Jenga. We remove one thing.
Yeah.
Everything falls apart. For example, I'm thinking of the UK, where cisgender women have been harassed by transphobes for not presenting sufficiently feminine. They've been accused of being trans. I'm also thinking of all the black women athletes who have been quote-unquote sex police, but in order to make sure their genitals conform with cisgender standards, in order to calculate their eligibility for women's categories. These are all examples of transphobia affecting cis people. Mm-hmm. So I want all the cis viewers right now, all the cis listeners, in fact, I want all of them to remember that transphobia is something which can affect them as well. It's not something which is exclusive to trans people, contrary to popular belief. And at the end of the day, if you're supporting transphobia, you're ultimately shooting yourself in the foot, which, if it might not hurt now, it will hurt later down the line. So I think it's very important to speak up against all forms of injustice without exception, because when you don't fight for one group, you're hurting yourself, because this group will then, the haters will then move on towards hurting you.
Stand for nothing, fall for anything. And I like what you said about it might not hurt right now, but way down the line it will. Because that's the thing, and once again, speaking to the cis listeners, because I often feel like, and from my own experience, from, you know, being friends with a lot of cis people, straight people sometimes, my thing is, a lot of people, from what I'm understanding, from what they've told me in the past, is it was all so new to them, the idea of trans people, till they met that one trans person that came into their lives and opened their eyes to the world. But my thing is, I want people at home to understand that trans people are way closer than you think.
Yeah, there are trans people probably around you.
There's trans people around you in your circles and your family and your group of friends. Your hairdresser might be transitioning as you speak.
For example, for the fellow McGill students out here, think of the fellow students sitting at the right of you. You might not realize they're trans at first because they might not be comfortable disclosing it, but they might be so. Yeah. I believe the Canadian census in 2021 officially found that around 1 in 300 people are trans. I believe the actual rates are going to be much higher as, like, in younger communities, like, I believe it's closer to 1 in 100 and probably going to increase for the next while. So
already 1 in 100 feels so low. When I think of the girls, I'm like, everybody's trans.
But think about it. Just for comparison, one person out of 36 right now has COVID. So
that's true.
It's for every 3 people with COVID out there, there's one trans person, probably at least in McGill. Mm. So I think that's a good analogy for just how many trans people are out there.
Definitely. Gillian, did you have something to add, maybe?
I think it was, like, important what Celeste was talking about earlier, about, like, how the really, like, the group, like, this LGB Alliance, that they want to kind of maintain an idea of, like, white womanhood specifically, and that hurts all of us, ultimately. Like, the idea of, like, that womanhood needs to be one thing is going to hurt everyone, like, cis, trans, women, man, anyone.
Yeah.
This is not just an issue for, like, us. This is an issue for all of us.
Because how many people can really fit in this idea of a notion that they have of white womanhood itself? One thing about womanhood, one thing about any type of identity, social norm, everything, there's so many different variations of it. There's so many different cases. And so, when you say, you know, it's so cliche and corny when they say, oh, everybody's unique, everybody's different. But it's quite real. It's quite real when it comes to trans people, and it's quite real when it comes to cis people. It's real for everybody. No matter the gender expression, no matter gender identity, no matter sexual orientation, every case is different. So for people to think that this does not concern me because I'm not a trans person, or this doesn't concern me because this and such, like my lovely co-host just said, it all hurt down the line because you never really know.
Up until you know.
Exactly.
I'm thinking of all the other cases where, like, people have been hurt because of this. Like, I'm thinking of all the times when someone would just, I'm not sure, but I'm thinking of it. First, like, there's the famous quote where, like, first they came for something, then something else, then ultimately when he came for me, there was no one else to lift me up. I think we're kind of landing in the same situation here, where trans people, it still is socially acceptable to attack trans people, whilst it has no longer been for at least a few years for, like, you know, the rest of the rainbow, and even more long for, like, for women, for black people in general. Yeah. So it very much is a case of, this is not socially acceptable, and I believe over time the public opinion will change. Mm-hmm. But I think for now, and now especially, it's particularly important to speak up when you hear transphobia around you. If someone tells you a transphobic story, even if you're cis, even if you know no trans people out there, speak up.
Mm.
It's going to perhaps make a difference, whether in that person's life or to someone who that person might know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, the context of this, it isn't happening in a vacuum, this event. We just went, in the last year, there was municipal elections in Ontario and BC, mm-hmm. and in both of those elections, like, specifically targeting school boards, there were a ton of transphobes running. There was slates like Parents' Voice, there was a bunch of transphobes targeting school boards, trying to get their rhetoric pushed out to as many people as possible.
Yeah.
I mean, just last year in Ottawa, there was transphobic protests outside of schools. There's transphobic billboards up in BC.
Yeah.
This is a like rising issue in Canada, and the Canadian Anti-Hate Network especially has been really looking at it. And that a lot of that is kind of contextualizing what this man is doing and speaking at McGill. He's trying to bring this rhetoric from the UK to yeah. our campus, and he's trying to kind of push this more into the Canadian political issue. And we need to tell him that this isn't an issue here. We care about trans people here, and we aren't something that's up for debate.
Yeah, and as much as the right wing might cry, we're canceling them. Like, they might be crying cancellation, but the truth is, we're sending a strong message that transphobia is not acceptable. It's not cancellation when it's hate speech.
Yeah. Anyone when it comes to cancellation, you know what they say, play stupid prize, win stupid games. I've always said, you can say whatever you want to say in the world, doesn't mean people are going to take it lightly. Doesn't mean people are going to agree with it, and doesn't mean people are not going to say anything because they're allowed to think and say what they want to say, just as you yeah. thought and say what you want to say. So also, and it's another thing, because you guys are students, right? Both of you are students.
Exactly.
I'm not a student, so academia itself is something I've always witnessed often from the outside looking in. There's something going on with academia nowadays, especially from what I've heard here in Canada and Quebec. So many things they feel the need to bring so many conversations and discussions and topic within the classrooms. I remember last year it was a matter of this Quebecois, I cursed that lady's name for so long, Danielle something. I haven't forgotten that name, Danielle. She was talking about how she personally believed that classrooms are not meant to be safe. They're not meant to be safe spaces. She was, I think, la ministre de l'éducation, which is something that is quite, I don't even have the word for it. It's quite astonishing. It's unsettling. I was watching Real Housewives of Salt Lake City recently, and the word of the month is unsettling. I was unsettled. And it's something I feel you see it at McGill, you see that UCAM, you see that Concordia. There is this need to push the boundary almost, to push what is socially acceptable to be discussed.
Exactly. And I'm thinking at the end of the day,
yeah.
there's a difference between something that's, you know, open to debate, which I believe everyone can mm-hmm. reasonably talk about. And there comes a point where it becomes more of an attack on dignity. And that's exactly yeah. the case here. For example, there's so many other topics you can debate about, whether it's something as like light as pineapple on pizza or something as heavy as, you know.
Yeah.
You can give an example.
Yeah, I guess, sorry, I can't think one off the top of my head. But yeah, we're not against debate. I love having debates. Yeah. I used to be part of the debate club at this school. Like, it's something we love to do, but there's just some issues that aren't a debate.
Yeah, and there's actual issues. McGill, once again, if you're listening, McGill, you know I love my job, but in your 200-something years, there's so many things to be discussing, so many topics. I could be hosting the next panel. There is so many topics that McGill could be bringing on to discuss outside of, as you said, something that is not something up to discussion. There are so many issues going on in the world, issues going on within McGill, that I believe Mr. Wintmute could be, you know, have a lot of things to say that maybe he would be more qualified to speak upon. There's so many things. And I, like you said earlier, now it is not seen as much as acceptable to make fun and to belittle and really put down trans people as it was 20 years ago. Because now trans men are mostly trans men. There's a lot of work to do with trans men still, but trans men, you know, gladly were on. When it comes to media and publications, trans women are leading when it comes to the community. Often we have trans models, Kim Petras, trans singers, trans actresses, so many people. So now they feel like the trans topic itself is the whole thing that we should all be. I don't know. It's crazy because, like you said, these people don't have our best interests at heart. Because had it been the case, the topic itself would have been very different. It would have been somebody else brought up to discuss. Because
okay.
when I was looking at Mr. Robert, doing my little research online, two things that I found. First of all, he's quite handsome. You know, I like a bald man. He's quite handsome. Let us speak the truth. You one thing about me, I'm not a liar. Am I lying? No, I'm not. The man is quite handsome. But outside of that, let me load my page. Robert Wintmute. There we go. Yeah, there we go. It's very crazy to me because he was, and you know when I mentioned earlier that he was going through Latin American University, I think last year, was it 2021, 2022? Yes, I think it was earlier this year. He was in Ecuador this year, basically speaking at a first judgment on a blanket prohibition of same-sex sexual activity. In this case, in the armed forces of Ecuador, on a dismissal from any kind of employment, civilian or military, the court found that Mr. Flor Frère, the defendant, dismissal from the armed forces was discrimination based on sexual orientation that violated the American Convention on Human Rights. Some people at home might be confused as to what does the American Convention of Human Rights has to do with Ecuador. One thing about Americans, they like to be everywhere. Everywhere they don't belong to. But it kills me that he seems to be understanding. I mean, no, deep down it's transphobia. I don't know if I can get sued for this. Mr. Whitmute, are you transphobic? And the words of Barbara Walters, I'm asking the question. But it you know, it pushes somebody to think. Because he can easily defend a gay person. But there is something, and he can defend a lesbian person if he is for the LGAs to a certain extent. But there is something that he can't wrap his head around when it comes to trans people.
I think the important thing is trans people, they're, in a way, they're the ultimate challenge to gender norms and gender roles. In a way, if you accept trans people, bam, you no longer have any justification for gender roles or like just any like, even like gender division of labor and just other societal cues of gender, all of them will necessarily get dismantled. I feel like it's a bigger paradigm shift, which is why so many people are more willing to attack us than any other group.
Yeah. Because what did Beyonce say in her that bitch when it caused all that conversation? Trans people, I've said when 2020 turned 3 years ago, New Year's Eve, I said 2020 was going to be the decade of the girls. Girls, G-U-R-L-Z. It is truly, truly, truly the decade of the girls. I'm seeing it firsthand. But it's also sad because when you come at the forefront, when you become almost, not a pioneer, but the face of a movement, as trans people, we are starting to become, which is something that we have been owed, I personally believe. Let us remind ourselves who threw the first brick. So it is something, you know, that I believe it is owed to us as trans people, but it's also, it's fucked up that it has to come with so much backlash. Because what kills me is what Mr. Whitmute that really shook me, that he was involved with, was the Bell versus Tavistock, in the UK last year, I think, where basically, they're trying to prevent trans youth to get access to hormones, you know, to hormone therapy, replacement therapy before the age of 18, which, if I just think of it right now, breaks my heart because it's already so something that we should be empowering, something that we should be looking up to when you see a trans youth being so sturdy and so strong at their identity at such a young age. To imagine that the government is trying to put these children down.
Yeah, in a way, kill these children indirectly and kill the doctors directly.
Yeah. And that's another thing. Because you know Sayana, right?
Yeah.
I know you've worked with Sayana too in the past. Sayana and I were having a conversation, and I would love to have Sayana maybe in a few episodes on Ask Miss Chris to have this conversation. The trans identity right now has been so almost co-opted, but not co-opted by actual people. It's been co-opted by movements. People are using the trans identity and the trans liberation movement as a scapegoat as to everything that should be looked upon with, oh my God, they're doing too much when it comes to the LGBTQ community, which is so telling to me. And so, because from my personal experience, because that's another thing, I want you people at home to understand one thing. A trans person can definitely be gay and a trans person can definitely be lesbian. For people to think that trans people are fully outside of this whole situation of the LGBT. I know a lot of trans girls that are gay and lesbians. I know a lot of the trans girls that are lesbians, and they don't like men. A lot of them don't. So to really use trans people as the scapegoat of everything that is going wrong and everything that is being pushed upon children is really, it's just crazy to me. Because when I think of trans identities and when I think of my girls and my brothers and of my fellow non-binary people and my she-theys and he-theys and whatnot, we are not the people that are usually the most in your face and out and about when it comes to pushing a narrative itself. But yet trans people are to receive everything. They receive so much hate, so much scrutiny. It's quite unsettling. I'm using the word unsettling again because it's something that I can't even believe that 2023 I'm sitting in McGill. Somebody that has offered me this nice, security has offered it to me, but McGill in a way offered me this nice little seat that I've been sitting on for almost a year now. And yet they don't seem to be able to understand that my livelihood and yours, Galeon, and yours, Josh, is not up to debate. It's unsettling. It's quite... And to know that not only are they fully going to go with this event, but you guys have reached out on several different occasions through different kind of people.
Yeah. This is my 7th news interview.
7th?
7th since I started organizing.
About the same situation. So you were trying to stop this way... Oh, wow.
And we've emailed them so many times. There's like... on the Facebook event for the protest, yeah. There's an open letter out with, I forget the exact number of signatures, Celeste.
Yeah, I believe there was 400, including the Concordia Student Union, including the FSPED at UCAM. Their whole post line and law faculty is opposed, including even CEGEPS in Sherbrooke. You can tell how wide the opposition is.
For all this, and they're just basically sweeping this under the rug. As long as they don't speak about it themselves openly, they're not bringing attention to it.
Yeah, that seems to be.
Oh.
Exactly.
What is
that stuff works.
Oh, wow. So everybody at home, I am looking at the receipts, honey. Mikhail Outlaw, signature. Wow. This is so crazy. Oh, my God. The names, they just keep on going, everybody. This is not a drill. So this has been going on for quite a while. And I think I see some familiar names. Hey, girl.
Yeah. I'd say in 4 days, it's pretty impressive, but we kind of had no choice.
That's shameful.
It's like, I hate doing last-minute protests, but it's become the norm.
That's unbelievable. Miguel, what do you have to say for yourself? And also everybody at home, 514-448-4013. I'm really appreciative. I do want to point that out. I'm really appreciative for both of you guys' work. And if we're going to talk about trans activism and transport, let us all remember the people and the organizations that really do the work, that step in the front lines for all of us. And I'm thinking of Aztec. Mother L and Daphne were just hosting the first hour of the show. I'm thinking of ITQ. I'm thinking of so many people also that I know dear personally that work in P10 and...
And even like individual activists such as myself.
Oh, we have a caller, so let's go ahead, Josh. I'll let you do it. Hey, tell me something good. I'll tell you something better.
Good.
Yes, now I'm listening. What's up? Tell me what's good.
I just wanted to call in to say that I really, really appreciate the work that you all are doing.
Oh, thank you.
Well, thanks.
Thanks.
Yes. And I'm calling in from Park Extension, and my organization, the organization that I founded and I work for, Brick by Brick, is neighbors with Ashley.
We know Brick by Brick. Shout out to Brick by Brick. I love digital. Love digital. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So just want to put it out there that if your listeners, if your supporters, if your members, if the people in your community need space, we have space. It's available for people who need it, who have creative energy, and who don't have much of an outlet.
Yeah.
And so it's so easy to get in touch either through Siana or whatever, or you can go to www.brickbybrick.com, and we're there for you.
Thank you so much, and thank you for your work for Brick by Brick. It's really appreciated.
Thank you. Keep at it.
Thank you. Have a nice day. Happy New Year.
Happy.
Amazing. So I think we have another... Oh, is that another call? No, that's a wrong false alert. So we have 10 minutes. I'm thinking of putting one last song before we might get back into a few last little things that we should be adding. So I've been thinking... Oh, that's... You know what? Escape. You are Anglophone. Is it escapism or escapism?
Escapism.
That is the one word that's always beating my ass. I never seem to get it right.
That's so fair.
Right? But as Gillian said, that's the song we're playing. Go ahead, Josh. Yes.
I'm sitting on him. All of my diamonds are dripping on him. I met him at the bar. was 12 or something. I ordered two more wines, cause tonight I wanna. A little context if you care to listen. I found myself in a shit position. The man that I love sat me down last night and he told me that it's over, done decision. And I don't wanna feel how my heart is ripping. In fact, I don't wanna feel, so I stick to sipping. And I'm out on the town with a simple mission. In my little black dress and this shit is sitting. Just a heartbroken bitch, high heel, 6 inch in the back of the nightclub, sipping champagne. Trust any of these bitches I'm with in the back of the taxi, sniffing cocaine. Drunk calls, drunk texts, drunk tears, drunk sex. I was looking for a man who was on the same page. Bounce back to the intro, back to the bar, to the Bentley, to the hotel, to my old way. Cause I don't wanna feel how I did last night. I don't wanna feel how I did last night. Doctor, doctor, anything please. Doctor, doctor, have mercy on me. Take this pain away. You're asking me my symptoms, doctor. I don't wanna feel. Tug this joint, how I'm blowing this steam. Back to my ways like 2019. Not 24 hours since my ex did dead. I got a new man on me, it's about to get sweaty. Last night really was the cherry on the cake. Been some dark days lately and I'm finding it crippling. Excuse my state, I'm as high as your hopes that you'll make it to my bed, get me hot and sizzling. If I take a step back to see the glass half full, at least it's the Prada two-piece that I'm tripping in. And I'm already acting like a dick, know what I mean? So you might as well stick it. Just a heartbroken bitch, high heel, 6 inch in the back of the nightclub, sipping champagne. I don't trust any of these bitches I'm with in the back of the taxi, sniffing cocaine. Drunk calls, drunk texts, drunk tears, drunk sex. I was looking for a man who was on the same page. Flash back to the intro, back to the bar, to the Bentley, to the hotel, to my old way.
Peace with the things you can't change. I'll be naked when I leave, and I was naked when I came. How to reach, how to test, too numb, I don't feel no way. So stuck, so what? Street smart, but it go both ways. So, you're one, bitch, you never escape. Sunset in the
way. Give me my symptoms, though.
Thank you everybody for tuning in tonight. This was my first episode technically hosting Queercore without or being outside of Ask Miss Chris. It was nice. I put on my Barbara Walters wigs tonight. Rest in peace, Barbara Walters. Rest in peace, Barbara Walters. But anyways, back to the topic at hand, the real issue today, Gillian. So where are people supposed to meet tomorrow? When? How? Why? Where, I mean?
Yeah, so we're meeting at Old Chancellor Day Hall, which is the McGill Law Faculty. It's just at the corner of Peel and Dr. Penfield. Mm-hmm. Just kind of, sorry, y'all, you have to walk up the hill.
That slippery hill.
Yeah, there's also the bus number 107.
Oh, yeah, yeah. True. Okay. Yeah, or the 144 if you want to. Yeah, it's just there at room 16 in Old Chancellor Day Hall. It's connected, so it's just part of the building. If you need to... if you kind of can't find your way there, just message Radlaw on Facebook and someone will come help you out because it's a bit of a complicated building. But yeah, room 16, Old Chancellor Day Hall, 1240. Come show up, bring your signs, wear a mask, please, bring a friend. Mm. Yeah, and if you have any money to spare, donate to Aztec. They do really great work for trans folks in Montreal.
There's a fundraiser in the event too, and actually like it'll help us like just count how much money has been received. So just show up on like the... on like the Facebook event page. It's also going to be shared on Instagram through the Celeste Shannon Instagram account as well as the Facebook account. So you can look there as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just show up, help trans people. If you can't show up, sign the open letter. Yeah.
Yes, and the open letter, where can they find it?
It's on the Facebook event page mm-hmm. for the protest. Under, if you look up Radlaw on Facebook, you can find it.
So everything should be on the Radlaw yeah. Facebook pages.
As well as my personal Instagram, at Celeste Shannon on Instagram. CelesteTrianon.
And for those that didn't get it, I reposted a story, so you can always go on my Instagram, Chris Marlowe, go through my stories, have fun, and you can find Celeste's Instagram also, as well as Gillian's. Josh, thank you so much. Welcome back. Everybody, me and Josh, it's our first week back since the break. But as I promised you guys, today... Yeah, go ahead. Today is not good. No? Today is not an Ask Miss Chris episode. Today is a Queer Core episode. I'm coming back to you next week with two things. First of all, my lovely self. Second of all, my surprise. My surprise, technically, I should be doing a countdown. But I'll give you one clue. My surprise will be coming out on streaming in 10 days. Yes, you heard it here. Streaming in 10 days. So if you remember correctly, I did a TV show last year, so it's coming out very soon. I'm trying to do a little night viewing party at NDQ. Bo from NDQ, if you're listening to this, I haven't reached out to you personally, but you know how to find me, I presume. So everybody at home, I'll see you next week. My lovely self and my lovely guest. It's always a pleasure to hear from you. Love, Miss Chris, always. Talk to you soon.
So there's nothing to regret other than this awful kick drum pounding in my head.
Sleezing and teasing, I'm sitting on them.
something around then, and then we can all feel like it's 20 years ago. I got sidetracked. After Downhill Lullaby, you heard Drew Barrymore, also by SZA. I swear I really tried to, like, restrain myself, but I just couldn't help it. And then after that, you heard Siren Song by Jackie Xtreme and God is a Circle by Yves Stumer. Up next, you're going to hear Tears in the Club by FKA Twigs. So thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you guys a bit later.
The following is a previously broadcast program.